This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Richard Smart. You're a viticulturalist, quite a famous viticulturalist, and you've been doing some work in China recently. What's the situation with China?
Well, China's a very big grape producer. I think they're about number 7 in the world. I think they're just behind Australia. We don't hear much about them. Their wines aren't exported. The Chinese don't drink much wine. And most of the grapes they grow are table grapes. But for all of that, they've had a wine industry for quite a few decades now. And the central government has decreed that there will be a wine industry, and a large one, so it will happen.
I heard the reason they were doing that was because you can't grow grapes where you grow rice. So there wasn't a conflict with, as an alcohol beverage, it was sort of steamed.
Well, it's a bit like that. They make what's, I think, undoubtedly the world's worst alcoholic beverage there. I forget the name of it, but it's a distilled product out of wheat. And it smells and tastes foul. Absolutely dreadful. And the government wants to reduce their production of that, use the wheat for food, and switch people on to wine.
Okay. So what sort of things are going on in China in terms of wine production?
Well, there's quite a few overseas investors coming in, and there's some wealthy individuals in China who and nearby Asia that are investing there. And because the government wants wine production to happen, and that command has been passed down the chain of command down to the town and village level, they're very keen for people to move into their area and develop vineyards and wineries. You probably don't know this, but when China entered the world apple market, they sort of turned it upside down, because they produce so many apples. We're familiar now that China produces so many manufactured goods. Mm. I mean, many of the goods we buy in our shops are produced in China, whereas, you know, maybe 20 years ago there weren't so many Chinese ones, there were more Japanese ones.
Or Korean.
So in the same way, I think we're going to just start hearing more about China. And it's an interesting question about whether they'll ever develop an export wine business. You know, probably people might have said a while ago, well, they couldn't have done it with apples, or maybe they couldn't have even done it with their manufactured goods. So I don't know. They've got a lot of resources, and they're keen for value-added agricultural products because it helps solve some of the problems they've got of rural poverty.
What about the fact that there's no land ownership in China?
Well, you get a long-term lease, that's not a problem.
Oh, so the way that you set up a vineyard in China, if, let's say, Constellation went into China, they would get a long-term lease for that land, develop it.
Yeah.
Well, is that the process?
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I've never heard of Constellation
I'm just making that up. I was just thinking of some big multinational going in.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do it through long-term leasing.
Yeah.
Okay. What sort of regions in China should people think about in terms of wine production?
Well, I'm not going to be too specific because the clients I'm working with have paid a lot of money to have these regions detailed. No, I'm serious, because we've done very comprehensive studies of the climate. But I can tell you in general, if you look at the coastal areas of China, it's very hot. So because it's very hot, we tend not to get good wines. It's very humid, and also for that reason, the wine quality can be compromised. But more particularly, it rains at the wrong time of the year. In August, September, it rains a lot, and that causes you all sorts of problems. Yeah. Now, as you go inland, it gets cooler, and that's good. Not necessarily, you just get away from the coastal influence. Some of it's altitude, but not totally.
I thought coastals are normally more moderate climate areas.
Well, it depends on what the ocean temperature is. But anyway, as you get As you get inland in China, you're getting into the middle of the Asian and European land mass. It's just more continental and more cold. Well, more cold in winter, I should say. The summers can be hot.
Yep.
But the winter gets so cold that they have to bury the vines or they won't survive.
Yep.
But anyway, within that area, effectively more or less west of Beijing, more or less, you get into better areas.
Tried some wine from around Shandong, and it was all right. It wasn't fantastic, but it was well made and it tasted all right.
Yeah, many of the wines you see have got some basic winemaking faults and basic viticulture faults, but, I mean, when they learn how to do it, they'll do very well.
What about grape varieties? What sort of things are they growing? Or are they...
Well, they're tending to grow the same ones that everyone else does around the world, but they're doing quite well. There's a couple of varieties that are well-suited there.
What's...
They don't do a bad Cabernet Sauvignon. They've selected a local grape they call Cabernet Guernichet, and its origin's a bit clouded. It may even be Carmenere, I was told in my last visit. And Carmenere, you may know, is a Bordeaux variety that was taken to Chile and thought to be Merlot for a long time. Anyway, I'm not sure if that's true. And then they also have Riesling Tokay, I forget the other name for it. Oh, Sauvignon Vert, that's it. Or Tokay Frulliano. That does quite well there. It's a white.
Is that not Frulliano from Italy?
It is, yeah.
Oh, it's the same?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that's growing there as well?
Yeah, yeah. So they have a number of varieties. But I've had some quite good wines there. I've had some good Syrah wines. Yeah, so I think it's quite a good place for investment, although it's, you know, it's a difficult place to do business.
How long before they really get volume together?
Oh, I don't know that I can answer that, but I would guess within 10 to 20 years they'll be having an impact on the world's wine trade.
So keep an eye out for them in 10 to 20?
Yeah, I mean, Australia's had an impact in 10 to 20 years, so's Chile. South Africa, so it's a reasonable time span.
It gives, I suppose that's from planting to give a couple of vintages off and then...
Yeah, and you've got to get critical volume and critical quality before people start to take notice of you.
Are they doing it internally or are they really looking to partner?
Oh, a bit of both. Partnerships are pretty common.
Yep. I suppose that gives them information transfer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They could just hire a viticulturist like yourself and not have to partner?
They could, yeah.
Okay then, Richard, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, cheers, mate.